and what the Bible has to say. So let's pray. God, indeed, we are thankful, Lord, as we come to you and again sing your praises as we gather together, even outside in your creation. We're thankful for the rain, for the breeze that has cooled things off, Lord, a little bit. And so we are thankful for your sovereign control over all things. Lord, even now, as we just gather together for a few moments and talk about these things in our hearts and these things that weigh us down, pray that your Spirit would guide us and strengthen us and encourage us, and most of all, point us to Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. All right, so the final week of Summerfest, we've been spending some time looking at worry last week. And tonight we're going to take a look at a related topic, which is anxiety. And the reality is they're two very related things, right? They're related, but they're different. My hope and prayer is that we come to understand these differences and get our arms around some of these things. But as always, just getting some interaction here going, what do you think the difference is between worry and anxiety? If somebody said, aren't they the same? What are your thoughts on that? I see a couple heads shaking. What do you think the difference is between worry and anxiety? Yes, sir. Worries what?
Worry is when you keep on thinking about something.
Worries when you keep on thinking about something, okay. You think something bad's going to happen?
And anxiety is when you overthink.
Okay. Anxiety is when you overthink. So kind of like grown-up worry. Like you continue to think about. Okay. That's pretty good. I like that. Anybody else? Differences between worry and anxiety? What do you think, Julie?
In my case, worry is
worry is more mental? Okay. Anxiety is the full body experience. I think you're onto something there. Yeah. Yeah. What about the world at large? Do you think this is a something that people deal with, or just the abstract kind of couple people? Think that many people deal with anxiety? Yeah. I think so too. Most estimates are that 40 million American adults struggle with a major anxiety and or depression. Drugs designed to alter moods, specifically targeting anxiety, consistently rank in the top 10 prescribed drugs year to year. Indeed, the medical community is quick to diagnose a disorder. Anybody ever heard of the DSM? You know, that thing gets bigger and bigger by every year, right? All the disorders that are in there now. Anxiety-related disorders usually top the list. Generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, panic disorder, phobias, post-traumatic stress disorder, social anxiety disorder, etc., etc., etc. Right? So I previously mentioned my own struggles with anxiety. And even it was funny because Mel and I have been talking about anxiety leading up to this. And we realized that today we both were dealing with anxiety because we're talking about all these things. Right? And if we tackle this in our usual way, definition, evaluation, and application. I hope we can get our arms around this, okay? So getting to a more specific, what does anxiety feel like? Because I like where Julie was headed, that it was a full body experience, right? Or it might be worry, might be more mental, where you're focused on one thing, right? What does it feel like? Harold, what does anxiety feel like? Give us some feeling words. Feels awesome?
It feels terrible.
Feels terrible, okay. Okay. Well, what does that feel like?
Well, it feels like I get wound up on matter and
okay.
And I get into these thoughts that are not good.
Okay.
And the thoughts keep on going at me.
Okay.
And I shouldn't think about it.
Okay. So you kind of get trapped in your own thoughts and things kind of keep going. Okay, Sherry, what does anxiety feel like?
Sense of panic.
Like everything's about to be out of control. Okay. Okay. What other feeling words can be anxiety? M. Powerless. Okay. That's a good one. Robert.
Drowning.
Yes. Steve Barlow. Oh, you were just waving. Okay, good. Tom, you were going to say something. Were you waving or did you actually say something? Okay, good. Hi. Overwhelmed. Yeah, drowning. So these are all words that help us kind of get our arms around what anxiety is, right? We talked about generally, anxiety is more general, right? Worry is more specific. Like, I'm worried about that job interview. I'm worried about this conversation. I'm worried about the fact that I just got pulled over. I'm worried, whatever it is, right? I'm worried about something. It's kind of specific. I really liked what Julie said. There's a lot of people that, good thinkers on this, that say the same thing, that worry is more up here, right? But anxiety then is usually a few things that you can't really put your finger on, right? That tend to just kind of give us that feeling of, the best way I can describe it is happened to me today. I was struggling with it today because I have Summerfest today. I'm traveling tomorrow. I've got the service. All these things just kind of are there, and I don't really have a plan for them, right? And so they're just kind of surrounding me, buzzing around my head, and you start to feel uptight. You start to feel tense. You start to feel nervous, right? And if it continues on. So anxiety, and a good way to help somebody too, it's never usually one thing, right? It's usually a few general fuzzy things. And a good way to help somebody is ask, like, maybe what are the top three things that you're anxious about right now? You know, get them to identify that. And Melanie and I, even this week, as I've been talking about studying this, have been saying that. Like, she's saying, I'm feeling anxious. Okay, well, what are you feeling anxious about? Like, talk about those things. Identify those things. Because if they're in fuzzy land, right, they're like the monsters in the closet. We don't really know what they look like, right? But if we identify them, it helps a little bit, right? So you put all those things together with the stresses of everyday life, the demands of the bosses, the constant requests of the kids, the messes everywhere, all of those other things that are floating around your head, and voila, you have anxiety, right? And all the medical community tends to put a disorder label on it, and they can sell you medications to help you deal with that. I remember when I was at a physical many, many years ago with my doctor, and I said that I was just feeling anxious. She literally, this was before I knew Christ, and she literally like had her pad out and was writing a script for me before I even finished the sentence. And I remember feeling, really? Like, we're just going right there? Gave me Xanax really, really, really fast, right? And that's not necessarily, I'm not hating on all forms of medication by any stretch of the imagination, right? There are some forms of medication that are God's common grace and good. But should we be running right to a pill of Xanax as believers or not? You know? Joyce. It just kind of makes those feelings of nervousness go away, right? But you haven't really dealt with anything. Right. Absolutely. And so you put that together with my little story about my primary care physician who is very quick to give me Xanax, right? So we live in that kind of over-medicated world, right? And that's another way where Christians should be like, whoa, time out. Like, I'm just not going to take a pill to make myself feel better. I need to do a little heart introspection here to figure out what's going on. Medication may help, sure. You know, whatever. Doctors have their common grace. But our first reaction should not be going to mask something. We don't live our lives by our feelings. But feelings are flags. And you need to investigate where that flag is planted. Why? Why am I feeling anxious? So we've got to dig down into. The Lord uses feelings to get our attention to some things, okay? They're really, medication could be physical band-aids instead of what we're looking for, okay? So we've defined it. Let's look at it a little bit. Oh, you know, I never gave out my things. You people didn't tell me. Steve's going to do this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Some of you got them?
Who doesn't?
Wow. Whoever did that gets a gold star.
Is that what you're giving the kids when they give you their thing on the way out of church?
No, I'm giving them dum-dums. Those lollipops, those little ones, is that what they're called? All right, so we defined it. And if you need to fill in blanks or you won't sleep tonight, anxiety is more general, worry is more specific. Those are your blanks on that page. Why do we give in to anxiety? Three things. There's many more, but those are three good buckets to start with. A lack of clarity, a lack of understanding, and a lack of trust. What do we mean by a lack of clarity? You guys, we were here last week. We went over our circles, right? The circles of our responsibility and the circle of our concern, right? Sometimes we have a lack of clarity of what actually is our responsibility and what is not, right? What are some things that we actually can control? When you realize the farther you walk with the Lord, you realize that you can control not very much at all, right? And the things that we leave to God's control. Clarity in our priorities. What am I really supposed to, what are my God-given through here? What are my God-given responsibilities that I need to do? And what are not my God-given responsibilities that I need to do? And we talked even last week, there's going to be a lot of overlap between this week and last week, right? We talked about some of those things are good things, like discipleship and evangelism of our kids. Like, yes and amen. We need to evangelize our kids, but are we responsible personally for their salvation? No. They have to decide to repent and believe. We can do everything possible. We can live it. We can hold it down. We can preach the gospel, but we're not responsible to save their souls. And if you confuse that, poof, worry, anxiety, all kinds of things, right? We have to remember who our God is. A lack of clarity, too, sometimes in our abilities. There's some things you just got to tap out of because I stink at this, right? And that's okay that I stink at it. But sometimes we'll keep going with something just out of pride, just saying, I need to keep, I need whatever. Or we say yes to 50,000 things when we should not have said yes to 50,000 things. So we have a lack of clarity sometimes that contributes to anxiety. But also a lack of understanding of who the God of the Bible actually is. And it has a lot to do with a big word we talked about last week, which was sovereign. What's sovereign mean? Somebody tell me, I forgot. He's in charge over all, right? There's not an ant that crawls across the sidewalk that our Almighty God does not know about, right? God is in control of all things, everything that happens to us, everything in our world. And that doesn't matter a hill of beans unless we trust him, unless we're okay with that, unless we love him, unless we're convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's good and he loves us. And so a lot of times when we don't understand the God of the Bible, either we don't understand that he's completely sovereign over all things, or we're not really okay with that, right? Because we don't really trust him with a lot of those things. God, I know you're omnipotent and omniscient and all, you know, all that stuff, but I just need to keep this for myself because I need to worry about this, because I need to control this, because it's a lack of understanding who the God of the Bible actually is. And then subsequently a lack of trust. Sometimes we love to play in God's sandbox, right? This is not our control. This is God's control. But yet somehow we claim it as our responsibility, right? And again, it could be things that are good things, like the salvation of our kids, right? Somebody said last week too, injustice or something that goes on in the world. Those are terrible things, but we're not going to save the world ourselves. It's not our role. It's not in our circle. That's God's role. We need to do our part. We need to understand who God is, and we need to trust him. All right, let's look at why it's unbiblical. Two things. God is sovereign, and we are responsible. You cannot take one away from the other. You need to have both. Okay? If you just say God's sovereign and we don't matter at all, then you just have an angry God who doesn't really care about us, right? But if you just say it's all about us, then where's God? You need both. They're two wings of the airplane. They're two rails of the train tracks. Have to have both. God is completely sovereign, and we are responsible as well. Have to have both. God is completely sovereign. We can see that in a passage like Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. That's the God we serve. The God who declared the end from the beginning. The God who knows. Right? Why do we wrestle with God being sovereign? What are some things that we don't necessarily like in that? When we read a verse like that and it says, oh, great, God, he knows everything since the beginning. Why do we struggle with that? Or do we struggle with that? If we don't struggle with that, that's great. You guys are very mature. But why do other people, theoretically, who aren't here tonight, why would they struggle with the concept of a sovereign God? What do you think? Yeah. Yeah. You're going to rewrite Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for myself. Plans for good and for not hurting me ever. Right. Yeah, because we're Americans, right? Because it's up to us. You know, you got to do it yourself. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You got to look out for number one. And the concept of turning our lives and our control over to a sovereign God is something that grates against every little bone in our body. I want to control everything. I don't want to give everything over to God, right? But our Bible tells us, we just read it, that God is in control of everything. We have to be okay with that. And that boils down to trust, right? But we also are responsible, right? When you look at a passage like Ecclesiastes 2:24, and Jeff, I feel your pain right now, brother, because I can't see anything. Jeff and I always have this talk. What? Well, I'm about to bust out my phone light in a minute here. Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, there's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. We're not robots, people, right? We just don't get our instructions downloaded to us from God. There is enjoyment in what God gives us to do, and we should do it with all of our heart, and we should thank God for what he has given us. Even in the book of Colossians, it goes on to talk about that in 4:20. No, it can't be 4:23 because there is no Colossians 4:23. 4:3? 3:23. Whatever you do, thank you. Work at it heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. What God gives us, we need to do it with all our energy and all our responsibility. Why? Why? Why do we do that? Why do we follow Colossians 3:23? When we do what God wants us to, we're going to end up getting what I want. Okay. It's a little subjective, though, right? Because what I want could be a lot of things. I could want a pony, right? Right. True. Right. Right. Daddy knows better. We have to trust our God in that. Right? That he does know best for us. Right? But also when we... Yes, Joyce. Yeah. Right. And what you guys are both saying is something we have to align our hearts to. We want to align our hearts to want what God wants. Right? That's what Jesus means when he says, if you ask anything in my name... Right? If you ask anything in that way that will glorify me, right? That is, and as the closer that we get to the Lord and the more that we grow, we understand what the Lord wants and we understand what would please God. And so therefore we're supposed to want those things, right? And less selfish things, right? So where the prosperity gospels just rip that out of context and just say, you can have whatever you want. Just believe it, receive it, name it, claim it. You can do it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about doing things that please God, conforming our will to God's will. Like Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done. Right? That's what we should be doing. But also, if we follow Colossians 3:23, right, and do everything wholeheartedly and work towards God, not so much man, to be people pleasers, what does that say about us? We're happy and we're content with our God. What a tremendous witness that is. To do our lives and live our lives as thankful people, as worshipful servants of God who has given us so much, no matter what it is, right? To be joyful is to be a witness to the community. To those, a miserable Christian is a terrible witness. Right? We should realize what God has given us and we should trust Him. And that's a great witness for us. All right, why is it otherwise terrible? Who remembers what ACFs mean? Additional complicating factors. Very nice. Additional complicating factors come if we are spinning our wheels in anxiety. We are unproductive. We are caught in a spin cycle. As we talked about a few moments ago, we can develop some really nice physical issues. Sleeplessness, stomach pains, etc. Go down the list, right? It also displays lack of trust to a world that we are trying to convince to trust God, right? How about that? We're calling ourselves Christians that said, yes, we trust God, but then we live our lives in complete abject terror of everything that's going on around us and we're trapped in anxiety. What message are we sending to the Lord? I mean, to the world. Our God can't be trusted, right? That's what we're saying. And these are hard things. There are tons of additional complicating factors from being trapped in anxiety. It damages our relationships is another thing we could say, right? Marriages are torn apart by anxiety, right? It damages our relationships. It damages our jobs or whatever. We're unproductive. I guess you could call it into that, right? Okay, it's the last time you'll have to see this guy. So on your sheets there is an exercise, individual exercise. You are not going to have to share this with the class. So take a few moments and look at that and fill that out. Are there any extras of that the sheets that went around, by the way? No? Okay. No worries. So take a few moments and fill that out. Don't tell me what you want the pastor to hear. Like just you know, these things, these anxieties, how you're dealing with them. I can't remember what else I put on the paper, but whatever those questions say, we'll give you a few moments to do that. And I'll drink as much water as I possibly can. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast and complaining about the silence for the next 4 minutes, think happy thoughts. Think non-anxious thoughts. What? Maybe. If I sing, I don't think that would help. Take some time, write those things down. You don't have to write a novel. Oh, think about air conditioning. I hope so. Give you just another minute to finish that up. All right, the idea here too is that sometimes you just feel better getting stuff written down, right? Especially with anxiety, because anxiety is like really fuzzy. It's like these couple things that you're worried about, you know, but you don't actually want to think about them. They just kind of contribute to this overall feeling of anxiety. All right? So, and how do we deal with anxiety biblically? These things are the same. They've been the same every week. Confess, repent, apply the gospel, take action. Again, I really wanted that to say cart, but it says crat, so oh well. Confess, according to James 5:16, right? Confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you will be healed. Right? We need to call it what it is, church. Sin. It is sin. It's not really helpful sometimes to say somebody who's drowning in anxiety, tell them you're sinning, but it is sin. We have to call it what it is. So we confess it, and we do it especially in prayer. Maybe we share that with someone else, just like James 5:16 told us to do. That, look, I'm really struggling with anxiety. I'm struggling with these couple things. I can't get my arms around it. Can you pray with me? Yes! It's a beautiful thing. We also have to repent. What's it mean to repent? I forgot. I didn't really forget. What does repent mean? Change. A change in thinking that leads to a change in direction. You actually have to turn from it, right? And then you have to apply the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself every single day, multiple times throughout the day. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember your gospel identity. Remember what he did for you on the cross. Remember the grace of Jesus Christ that forgives sin. Right? You got to go all the way with this here. You got to take it to the cross, take it to the gospel, because if you just confess it as sin, what does that do? That probably just adds to your anxiety, right? It's like, oh, great, now I'm sinning. Right? Take it to the cross. You've been forgiven. There's grace. Walk in that. Preach the gospel to yourself as being forgiven. Surround yourself. There are Milton Vincent's little booklet back there about the gospel primer. There's like 40-something statements on the gospel. That's a fantastic way to preach the gospel to yourself. Keep one of those things around. Read through that once or twice a day. Remind yourself of what Christ did for you in the gospel. And do the whole story, right? And last, take action. So face it. A lot of times we just don't want to face it. We'd rather just keep those anxiety things in the closet, right, in the dark, and not actually deal with them. The only problem is they grow in the dark, right? They get meaner and nastier and uglier and bigger in the dark. So we got to drag them out into the light where they die. You have to face it. Don't let it grow in the dark. Realize that you can't control much. We're born thinking that we're the masters of our own destiny. Okay? But really, we can't control a whole lot. And I want to just kind of land the plane with giving you three things to think about here. Jump over to Philippians 4. Famous passage on anxiety. It may have been ringing in your head. Philippians 4, starting at verse 4, says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm actually going all the way here. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Right? I bring that whole chunk into it because we have to rehearse that whole chunk in order to get where we're going, right? Sometimes we combat it with, hey, do not be anxious about anything. Okay, I'll try. It doesn't really help us a whole lot, right? So three things to give us some handles on this passage, right? Praying, right thinking, and right acting. First, right praying. Good. Starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Watch this. Stuart Scott, one of my professors, now he's back at the Master's Seminary, but he said when they divvied out the verse numbers back in the whatever century that was, I think it was right around 1,000, they messed up here. Because look, the Lord is at hand should be part of verse 6. Read it like that. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, period. Watch this. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. It's much different than do not be anxious about anything, right? That's the reason why we cannot or should not give in to anxiety. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord's right here with you. Do not be anxious about anything. God's presence makes all the difference in the world. And so if you want to, you can move that number 6 right to the beginning of V. We won't tell any of the Bible translators, right? Do not be anxious about anything but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So you see, Paul sends us right away into prayer. Right praying. We ask God for what we need. That's what supplication is. We ask God for what we need, and then with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God. It's all about prayer. We spent a lot of time talking about prayer this morning in Psalm 17. We go to God in right praying. Think about what we do with the corporate prayer model. We do the Acts model, right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. A lot of times we rush right in with supplication. But think about who we're praying to. Think about the state of our hearts, right? Think about all the good things that he has done for us with thanksgiving. And then pray. So right praying. Also right thinking. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, anything that's worthy of praise, think. That's a command. Think. Think about those things. How many like me are masters at thinking of all the other terrible things? Right? We can dwell on those things all day long. This is a verse that I need to apply to my heart that helps us in our anxiety, right? Think about these things. Don't think about all those anxieties. Give them. You prayed about them, and you're going to be diligent to work through them. Don't dwell on them. You're just making them worse. It's a command. Think about those things. And finally, verse 9, right acting. What you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, practice. Another command, practice. Do these things. Do them. Walk in them. Right? It's not only just stopping the anxious thoughts. It's replacing those thoughts with God-glorifying thoughts. Because we can just say, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. It's not going to work. We replace those worries with God-glorifying. We repent and we replace. Where would we see these things? Where would we see things learn so we can learn them and receive them and hear them and see them in others? Where would such a place be like that we could possibly see this in other people? Church. Yes, that's why church is important. That's why we offer care groups and Bible studies. That's why we do summer fests, right? So that you can see these things in other people. And you can talk to people about what's going on in your life. And you can receive encouragement. And hopefully you can hear from me and other people teaching the Word of God. And you can hear these things. And then you can go off in your lives and you can practice those things. That's why the church is important. That's why biblical community is important. That's why when you're struggling with fear, worry, and anxiety, you need to resist the urge to go turtle. right? You need to be in community. That's the most important place for you to be, so you can do verse 9. But you also need to be right praying. You also need to be right thinking. There are many other passages that deal with anxiety. I just wanted to target one for us tonight to think about this thing in a biblical way. So, any final comments, questions, disparaging remarks? Yes, Lori. Is this a real disparaging remark? Okay. The Hiding Place. Okay. I do not know that book. No. Wow. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that book. It's called The Hiding Place. Okay. My copy. Oh, wow. Yeah. Sometimes we don't see what God is sparing us from. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. But yeah, no. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah.
And our sanctification, and often those places are hard, they're not fun, and we can't get a peace or freedom out of our anxiety. Through all that you said,
yeah.
We also have to realize that in those circumstances that God ordained his sovereignty, he's not going to always bring us out of it, he'll bring us through it.
Yes. Right. We're Americans, right? We want the pain to stop now.
But we're called to go through this.
Yeah.
And we're squeezed, we're refined, and we're sanctified.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No, it's not fun, but it is profitable, right? We talked in previous weeks of having the sanctification mindset, that what I'm going through is for God's glory and my growth, and I need to keep that in mind. He's not wasting it. He's not going to waste anything in our lives. It all contributes to that. And that goes back to trusting him. So, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, Fred. There's feelings of shame. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not really something easy to share all the time, right? We admit our weakness. That's what the church is about. Coming alongside each other. Yeah, because we all struggle. So maybe it's not with anxiety, but it's certainly with something else. So. Yes, sir. You get the honor of the last comment of the night. No pressure. Well, thank you. What are you going to say? Yeah, anxiety makes you feel like you're alone. Yeah, that's thank you. Yeah, that's exactly it. It makes us want to turn inward and makes us want to feel alone. That's one of the tactics of our enemy too. to lie to us and to make us feel alone. We're not, probably everybody struggles with anxiety at some time or another. That's why we need each other, come alongside each other. So, well, good. Let me pray for us, and then we will go on our way. So let's pray. Father, as we have spent some time over these last few weeks looking at these issues of the heart and in fear and in worry and anxiety, Lord, Father, help us above all to be diligent in knowing who you are in your word, to be diligent in, as your word tells us elsewhere, to make our calling and election sure, to pursue holiness, to pursue maturity in Christ, to be putting off the things of this world and putting on the things of Christ, to be having a distaste for sin, Lord, in all its forms, including anxiety, Lord. May we not live lives that are dominated by fear. May we live lives that are dominated by that healthy fear of you, Lord God. Help us to come alongside each other, to be sensitive, to be that sense of community, Lord, where we could model these things for each other, of living a life that has trust in God, even when there is darkness, even when there is fear. Lord, help us to be strong. Help us to show who we believe in to an outside world who desperately needs you. Equip your church for this by your Spirit and through your word. We thank you for prayer that we can come to you, Lord. Pray that you will help us to do that well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.